The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Welcome to Up on Taconic, a recurring podcast that explores the world of Taconic High School from students, staff, school programs, and all of the things that happen here each day. All right, welcome to Up on Taconic. My name is Aiden. I'll be your host for today. I am joined by the rest of my panel, Avery and Dalton. Go ahead and say hi.
Hello.
Hi.
So, what are you already laughing about? We're a minute in.
I'm a silly little guy.
I bet you are with your little Kaido plush.
Yay! I went around one and I got Kaido. I love Kaido. Shout out any of my Vocaloid fans out there. You probably only know Hatsune Miku, but I'm a big Kaido fan.
Shout out Vocaloid fans. Only talks about the one that everyone knows.
Well, I'm like, that's the one everyone knows. So I'm pointing out the fact that everyone knows
her. Kasane Tedo.
Well, that industry plant, but it's fine.
Leave her alone.
Isn't Kaido also an industry plant?
No, he's the first Vocaloid. He's like one of the first.
The industry plant.
He's not an industry.
He's Vecna.
He was the first.
Except he wasn't.
I was the first. I've seen everything.
All right, Withered Chica.
All right, we're getting off topic.
Yes, we are. Kind of bring this back in, because we are going to start with talking about our short films. So, some people may remember, I think a couple months ago, we talked about the beginnings of our short films here in multimedia. Me and Avery talked about the ones we made in film appreciation last semester.
Correct.
But a lot has changed in those couple months. We've actually started making them, and it has been a wild ride.
Correct.
So, I mean, I guess to start off first, how have you guys been doing with the short films so far?
Pretty good. Got like my first two scenes done, so it's only like
about the same here.
I got 80% of my film done.
Well, yeah, because half of it is at home.
not that much, but I did take a camera home yesterday and I got everything filmed, or at least most of what I needed to get filmed at home done. I have most of it. I still need to do a little bit more, but that's neither here nor there. I can just sign it out the camera another day and do it again.
Always got more
you
time.
Say this as if I don't have like four times the amount of footage you have.
Yeah.
This guy has no footage. No footage.
Doug, no I have my first footage. Two scenes done.
No footage.
No footage?
I have my first two scenes done.
All right, good. That's a good. I have my first two done as well. I'm working on the next two, and the next two are probably going to be, one of them's probably going to be the hardest one to film, and one of them's probably going to be arguably the easiest one to film. Because it's enough. Just us talking in the office, me and you. So,
cool.
You're just like, yo, bro, why are you being such a meanie bobini head? And I'm
why
like,
are you
I'm
so gonna, mean?
I'm going to be like, I'm going to continue being a meanie bobini head. Ah! And then
what
the movie
the flip?
Ends.
You two are the worst people I know.
No. I beg to differ.
Okay. Either way, I think we should probably remind everyone, because it's been a while, what were your guys's like themes or plots? What was the actual plot of your guys'
you
short film?
First, Dalton.
I'd say you can go.
Oh,
first.
Because you guys have a story. Yeah, you have a story. You have a story. So mine is called, I named it The Screaming Reels. Because the basic plot is there's this filmmaker who's like, I love making a movie, and then he make movie, but he's like, man, none of these technologies are good enough for what I want to do. I need some dark arts. So he starts doing witchcraft to sort of like make better movies. So he's like a little silly little salesman who's like, I'm going to sell you these evil wares. And that's you, Aiden. And then he sells him evil wares. And then he gives him the soul of like a cruel director. And then it like takes him over and controls him and makes him be evil, but make good movie.
All right. That's something.
Yeah.
It's a short film.
That's one of the stories of all time.
I thought it was pretty cool, okay?
I mean, it is.
Yeah. It is.
It's a lot of moving parts.
It's just a lot compared to ours, which is just...
Yeah.
You want to start with yours?
I kind of forgot the plot of mine.
Bruh.
I didn't forget the plot.
My brother in Christ, you made the sandwich.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I forgot the plot. My brother in Christ, you made the plot.
I forgot how to word it, is what I'm trying to say.
That makes more sense.
You can start with yours while I try and remember how to word mine.
Okay, I guess. So, to preface this, me and Dalton somehow made almost the exact same short film by complete accident. So, mine is called Unsent, which is the same thing
mine
as it.
Mine is also called Unsent.
But there's a slightly different story. I mean, you should probably mention yours since, you know, I started with you.
Yeah. But the basic premises of mine, I can't go into detail because everything is slipping my mind right now. But this guy is basically trying to figure out how to word an apology to his friend when he...
like, didn't stand up for him for not getting bullied or something like that. Wasn't that the one? Yeah.
Basically.
I didn't make the sandwich, but I tasted the sandwich, and I remember the flavor.
Okay.
What kind of metaphor is that?
My metaphors go crazy. You don't know.
No, sound like you're addicted to Subway.
I tasted the sandwich. It was a pretty good sandwich.
It was a pretty good sandwich. My metaphors go crazy, dog.
Your metaphors make my head hurt.
Your metaphors apparently go into a foot-long Subway.
Try a new $5
crazy.
Try the new $5 foot-long deal at Subway.
What is that a metaphor for?
Try the new $5 short film plot.
Yep.
Yep. All right. Go with yours. Yeah, yeah. Go with yours.
So the premise of mine is about the same, but rather than an apology, it's trying to figure out how to word a confession. What did I do to you?
I didn't say anything.
Yeah. The problem is, I'm not the audience, so I can see what you're doing, buddy.
He's giving him the stink eye. For all listeners out there, he's giving him the stink eye.
Nuh-uh.
Major side eye.
What side eye? Staring dead at me. Dead at you. Yeah.
What side eye? He was looking me dead in the eyes. Yeah, close side eyeing you now.
Close enough.
No, close enough.
It's not.
This is a perfect 90 degree angle. There's no close enough.
Straight forward. Yeah. Side on.
Yeah. But yeah, my main character has to send a confession to a classmate. That's basically the premise. That's kind of it. It's just trying to figure out what to do, whether or not to do it, and what not doing it could risk. Or rather, what doing it could risk, what not doing it could, I guess, never let be.
You see, those are two different plots because one of them is like an anti-bullying PSA and the other one is a Hallmark movie. So like it works out perfectly.
I'm making Christmas movies!
So is your crush's dad Santa in the movie? Is your crush's dad Santa?
No!
My dad's Santa.
Kris Kringle. No, we're not adding Kris Kringle.
My father is Christopher Kringle.
That's great for you, ever, buddy. Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right, well, since we have our plots and what our progress is like so far, what has the progress looked like for you guys so far? Because I know you guys are a little sooner in your production process. You guys don't have as much. Still have, like, everything we need to have so far, but...
Well, because you just filmed almost everything last night.
But I mean, like... This is when we got to switch into full gear. This is where we got to get everything done because this is due in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
So, do you think you guys are still on set for a successful short film?
I mean, yeah, definitely. It's kind of like slow and steady wins the race kind of progress.
Yeah.
Where it's like I am filming each scene in like one filming session, which is good. And then I get all the shots and then I put them in and then I take some like. 10 to 20 minutes to edit, and it doesn't take that long, and then I'm already done with scene 2, and then scene 1's very simple. So it's mainly just, like, how long will it take for the filming of scene 3 right now? And then scene 4, I can trust Dalton to not have a ton of line issues, let's put it that way.
He's gonna have an aneurysm.
I'm gonna screw up every line.
You'll be fine. I'm not that worried, because even if you improv them but get the same, like, actual...
I'm not doubting my I'm just raging.
The Industrial Revolution, its consequences.
Yeah, like
what is this guy on about?
I'm quoting something. Those who know, those who don't.
All I heard was the Industrial Revolution and its consequences.
Yes, that's the point.
The Industrial Revolution and its consequences for society and its future.
Isn't that the thing?
good for you.
Yeah, but so yes, progress has been decent. But yeah, it's scene three could take a while because I need like the most amount of people for that one, and it's also filmed in Studio A, which can make scheduling difficult.
Yeah.
Scene four is relatively easy because just Shithead's office again, and then just me and you, Dalton, so it's fine. But yeah, should be done sometime middle of next week. I would hope that we're in shop.
Nice. What about you, Dalton?
I have my first two scenes done. I feel like I might actually have to cut some scenes because what I thought was going to be like maybe 30 seconds of like film time has actually been like a minute and a half, surprisingly. So I might have to like cut down some scenes.
I definitely do feel like I might need to cut down some as well.
Because I'm like two scenes in to like my full thing. And I don't even think I'm off the first page of script.
Yeah.
Whoa. Holy quapoli there, Batman.
Well, script with an asterisk. There's not much talking in my short film.
That's fine. There's a lot of talking
in
mine.
It's mostly voiceovers and just silence with music.
Mine is mostly dialogue.
Very dialogue. Melancholic handpan. What? That's what your song is.
I know, but just hearing that.
I'm not wrong, but I shouldn't be right.
Yes.
But I am.
Yes.
Get over it.
I am.
What?
I don't know. I think, therefore, I am.
I'm blue.
I don't think you think.
I don't.
He thinks, therefore, he aren't.
Just do your thing. How is your progress going, other than being 80% done?
I think my first two scenes, the first two scenes that I did along with you guys, I think those came out really well. Yesterday, I took the camera out, and I did all my, or most of my at-home filming, and I think that also came out really well. I think now it's just a matter of editing, making sure everything works and flows. But I think after that, I think I'm set to at least let this go on the back burner for a few days at least. That way I can worry about the other things that are going on in this crazy week. Good Lord, we have so much going on.
Yep.
And we have 3.5 days to do it all.
Stacked week. 3.5 days.
Yep.
Everything out of the blue.
Uh-huh.
Out of the what?
He's purple. I don't know what you're talking
he
about.
He is blue. Kaido is blue.
No, he's not. He's purple.
He's
right
the in. Color of a blueberry.
My blueberry.
Blueberries are purple.
My blueberry. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Blueberries are purple.
Yeah. He's purple.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think progress has gone really well so far.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has worked. I think I've been able to do good work on it. I think it has allowed me to actually expand what I'm doing with this crazy expensive equipment that we have. It's definitely allowed me to do more creative things. And then from there, see what we do next year. So I want to ask the two of you guys, what has been, I guess, like a best and worst, or like best and least best aspect of making these short films? You want to go first, Avery?
So the best was definitely like I enjoyed being able to script write and make a story sort of just off the dome, just being like, all right, this is like my creative prowess, just being allowed to kind of do whatever it wants. So that was really fun and enjoyable. And then so far the least best has been sort of dealing with essentially the tech limitations and time constraints. Not the actual time constraints of the assignment or like the ones Shakespeare's been giving us, more like the fact that we have ninth graders who steal up a lot of the room. Filming locations that can't always be filmed at, like stuff like that. It's all the scheduling that's been really, like, for lack of a better term, like annoying to work around. But the actual creative aspects and the filming and the working on it has all been very fun. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, those are good points, Dalton.
I feel like the best part for me has been the editing, because that's where I thrive, especially in like the multimedia aspect. Where I thrive in the multimedia aspect is editing. It is probably like my strong suit in the shop. But the things that I don't really like is like Avery said, the limitations of like equipment or being able to use Studio A when the ninth graders are there, or rather not being able to use it when the ninth graders are there. And that's for like half the day.
Yep.
So, yeah. But also script writing, because I'm not good at lengthening out a conversation. I am a kind of just get everything out in one blurb kind of person.
Yeah, we know.
So script writing is not good for me.
Believe me, we know. You should be a freaking rapper.
I don't want to hear from you.
The guy who can sing Rap God? Yeah.
Yeah. Leave me alone. I'm tongue-tied and dyslexic. I would be the worst rapper out there.
You got to become the new Scatman. You got to be the new Scatman.
I thought I told you to sit down and get down. I'm about to hit ground. Women in a box. My head swing out of this, but I'm not going to keep singing Master Shred.
See, this is why he needs to become the next Scatman.
Chocolate.
Raw. All
right.
Where did that even come from?
I don't know. I'm just stimming.
Yeah.
All right. What about you? What if you're... What have your best and least best aspects been?
I think that the best one, or at least one of the best aspects, was the ability to act rather than having to just, compared to the Thunder Report, basically just being me. I at least get to play myself up a lot more than I would on the Thunder Report. I think it's definitely been rewarding, as well as in his short film.
I was about to say, did you have more fun in yours
random,
or mine?
Like, I'm just like Shang Tsung, but I'm just like trying to sell him stuff, like a crappy infomercial.
Here's a bottle of screams. Free ADR.
Free ADR.
Yeah. Yeah.
The slap chop. The slap chop with dead.
The scream shop.
With dead people's souls in it.
Yeah. that's what he's chopping up is the souls.
Yeah.
It's just like the souls of the damned. But I think much like both of you, the worst part has been trying to fight over equipment, or as you
fighting
worded it.
Fighting the ninth
graders. No, I mean like us, like the six of us, just fighting for a turn on the Xbox.
Clamoring for a turn on the Xbox.
Yeah, just trying to find a way to work around six different people all needing like maybe one camera because all of our other stuff is being weird and funky.
And filming locations, struggling.
And people.
And SD card space.
Because I'm in almost every short film. There are six short films. I'm in five of them.
Yep.
I'm in three.
And Finn's doesn't really count because it's just like a POV shot, I'm pretty sure, for the whole
thing. Just kind of exists in his short film.
It's a short film.
You also just kind of exist in his short film.
Yeah.
I don't think I exist
You're just
in kinda his short
there.
Film.
Well, you briefly do. You're just kind of there. Who knows? Maybe you'll get to exist in his short film at some point.
I don't know if I want to, because I don't want to be in all of the short films. I have to worry about my own.
Yeah, that's fair.
Do his own, and then like four other people.
Yeah. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding. Phone call.
What is this guy on about?
I'm sorry. You've never heard that soundbite?
No. But either way, yeah, I think equipment limitations, because we usually have one to two good cameras at a time.
Yeah.
It makes it very rough to try to work around that, especially because we usually only have one to two good SD cards.
That and when the ninth graders are also using cameras and SD cards.
The Canon one is not that.
And then they leave them in the computer, so we don't know where they are.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, we have to go looking for them.
And nothing is labeled, and we just have to scavenge around for, like, an hour, and then that's an hour gone out of our day.
We have to be a little, we have to be little birds.
Yeah.
Cuckoo.
Like all right. Sticks for a nest.
No, but it said it's SD cards for our short films.
Yep.
But, yeah, that's, like, it's that and timing. I think, yeah. I think, like, collectively, those are the biggest problems for us are just the aspects of trying to time everything properly and then getting the proper equipment to do so. That's why I just chose to sign everything out as soon as I could. That way I could just try to get everything done in one sprint, which I was able to at least get most of it. But how are you guys feeling so far about the whole idea of the short films?
I like it. I like working on short film. It's fun. Enjoyable. I get to be a little creepy. I get to be a little silly.
I do kind of agree. It is enjoyable, but I enjoy it more when there's not like 500 other things to do like there is this week, especially with our lack of a week.
Yeah. It makes it a lot more difficult to actually focus properly on the short films and work like that. But
very stressful.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think overall it's been a lot more rewarding than it has been depreciating.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think it at least has some like the nuances that are within it at least allow us to work properly. They don't inhibit us as much as they probably could be. That's definitely a good thing. Because if it were, there wouldn't be a single short film done. But luckily, our crew doesn't really let equipment limitations or time limitations get in the way. We're able to just do what we can and do it as well as we can.
Yeah.
That's what's... I think that's the biggest help for us is that we're a crew that can, you know, get through, get over the hurdles and get through the roadblocks that come our way. Definitely allows for us to work better, work more efficiently, and overall produce better products. So I'm going to kind of end it off here a little lighter, but do you guys hope we're doing more stuff like this at some point throughout senior year?
Yes,
or would
absolutely.
You rather go back to the show?
I think the show is not super good for our learning at this point. It feels very...
It's kind of give and take because it's very cookie cutter for us, but it's also something that's very easy and something that we do really, really well.
Yes. So it ends up like being like, it's a good product, but like we're not getting much out of it.
Yeah. I think there's a certain kind of like efficient stress over the short films because there's something that we haven't been doing all of our high school careers so far. And it's something that we definitely have to put a lot more of our brains into. Than just kind of turning them off to do the Thunder Report. It's like, all right, boom, done.
I do the directing for the Thunder Report as easy as I breathe. Like, it's not hard for me anymore. I just do it, and I get it done, and I'm like, all right, it's good. And it is good, but, like, I'm not getting much out of it. It's just kind of like,
I mean, like, we still do good shows, and I think I'm still proud of what we do.
Oh, absolutely, of course.
Yeah, it's not like I'm, like, losing pride or losing ambition.
I still
it's
like
just,
the ownership over it.
Yeah.
Like, it's still something I care about a lot.
Like, it's definitely still hard to try to switch it over to the Night Critters and allow them to, like, fully take the reins.
But they can do it, and I believe in them to do it, then
I have faith that they can do a good job. I have faith that they can kind of follow in the footprints that we left. Fill those in nicely. What do you think, Dalton?
If I'm being honest, I like doing the Thunder Report more because I love my routine.
Yeah,
and
it's really hard to break
the
routine.
Having this short film just threw everything off balance.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, I go in to school, I do the Thunder Report, it's the weekend, I go in, I do my academics. Cookie, like, rinse and repeat.
It's really
I'm
hard to
that.
Remove
and
structure
then,
from somebody.
Yeah. And then
it's
like,
really hard.
Go in, oh, can't wait to do the Thunder Report. Actually, no, short films. Everything off balance.
Yeah. It's really hard to break routine after it's
especially
been built up
like,
for so
a year
long.
And a half.
Yeah. Over a year and a half of us just working on the Thunder Report and doing nothing else, aside from smaller projects here and there, like the podcast, like what we did with School of Rock before we axed that.
Yeah.
It definitely is a lot at once to try to, you know, sift through as we move towards our senior year. Good Lord. Time is passing way
time
too quickly.
Time is passing quick. I am
we have less
like
than
a
month.
Year left.
Yeah,
I'm
we have less than a month left
adult.
Of the junior year.
I'm going to be an adult. It's weird.
We will all be unk.
I feel odd. That feels wrong. I'm a little baby boobop. I'm not ready.
By this time next year, we will all be legal adults.
Yes, I am big legal adult.
Yeah, and by this
I know
time
how
next
to do taxes,
year, we won't
right?
be here.
Yeah, we will.
Ish.
Ish.
We won't be here.
Like 2 weeks.
They already have the senior show, so we'll probably already have our senior show in here.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. But, yeah.
It's really, really strange to think about how long it really has been because of... I think that with how long it really has been for us, it's very weird to look back and see all the time that has gone by. I feel like freshman year was 6 months ago.
Yeah.
It was almost 24. It actually was. It was 30 months ago. That's a lot of months ago.
That's a lot of months.
That's
how many freaking
that's
days?
A lot of months.
How many days is that?
Like 900, probably.
My favorite thing to do when like
at least four.
Side off note: anytime somebody's like, it's this many feet," I love going. That's a lot of rulers. Because a ruler is a foot long. Fun fact.
Actually, it's actually 11.96 inches. I don't know. I just felt like making you feel stupid for a second.
That's fair. All right.
But yeah, that's... It's wild how much time flies.
Time goes by, indeed. Yeah. In fact, time goes by.
I guess when you find out you're doing something pretty neat, the years start to add up pretty...
They just go.
Pretty quick.
Yeah.
I never really thought about that until around this time. And I really thought about how long it truly has been for us. I've never really stopped to consider how much time has passed for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the scary thing is I'm starting to forget things that I thought I wouldn't.
Yeah. Like, I feel like
a lot of middle school, I'm not remembering it. Yeah, I'm forgetting middle school, and that's kind of scaring me.
It's like, oh, crap, I'm like, older now. Like, yeah. I kind of don't remember. My memory doesn't work as well. I used to be 12 and being like, I can remember back when I was like 3 years old. I remember so much of what happened when I was a little baby boobop. And now I'm just kind of like, what did I eat for breakfast this morning?
I will unfortunately hold the memory from when I was 3 because I was always doing stupid crap.
Yeah, it's fair.
Like the time that my 4th birthday happened, and then everyone sang happy birthday to me, and I just broke down crying for no reason.
That's like an average child experience.
Happy birthday!
My 4-year-old brother still cries.
Yes. I guess.
Oh, right. The blueberry of doom despaired everything.
The blueberry
affair.
Boy. Yeah. Good lord.
You just wanted an excuse to do your baby cry. Don't pretend.
Yeah, you did.
No. That came to me on the spot. I forget I can do that sometimes. It's the what did I eat for breakfast? I forget what I can do.
Yeah.
Can I do that baby cry again?
Bro.
You asked.
This guy's a walking soundboard.
Can we
Can we get the metal pipe clang sound effect real quick?
I volunteer that one.
Okay.
Hoi.
Boom.
Boom.
All right, we should probably get back on topic.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think high school has finally put in perspective how quickly time is going to be passing. Like, after this, going to college, if we do that, like...
All of my debt, come to me!
Okay.
Man, I can't wait to be in debt for the rest of my life.
That's what happens if we go to college.
Give us some money!
POV every college ever.
Yep.
Give us your money. But yeah, it's gonna be really weird adjusting, especially after senior year, because
can't wait to wake up to go to school. Oh, I don't have school. Yeah. What am I supposed to do?
Go get your job.
I'm gonna have 9 existential crises by the time I'm like 30.
Midlife crisis every year. Midlife
before you're even midlife, dog. Bro's not even like you're not even midlife till you're like 40.
Yeah, it's like 45.
Yeah, that's when you can start having your midlife crisis.
Yeah,
like you're not allowed your one.
Everything,
yet.
Everything feels. It. I don't know how to explain it. I'm gonna make I'm gonna make a reference because we're gonna talk about this later. I'm making a reference to Digital Circus. You know the part in episode 4 where Gangle's like.
I don't.
You do. But you know the part of the near the end of episode 4 where Gangle's like just walking throughout the store and everything's like. Weirdly, like right before she's about to abstract.
Yeah.
That's what time is starting to feel like to me. Like everything is slowing down and speeding up at the same time. I don't know.
That's an oxymoron.
Like,
Pomni.
The days, they somehow feel slow and yet.
They're going by so quickly.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's this many days left till the X thing. Oh, this is going to take so long. And then it's the night before, and you're like, what happened to everything?
Yeah,
where did the time
finale
go? Yeah. Eight days until it comes out in theaters.
Yep.
I'm not ready for that.
Yeah.
And
we were like, literally, we were like whining about episode 8 when episode 7 came out. Because we're like, we have to wait 3 months for this. And then it was the night before, and we're like, wait, what? Where did 3 months go? And then we saw episode 8. And we saw that it came out June 19th. And we're like, what do you mean it's another 3 months? And now we're a week and 1 day
away from the theater release, which is...
But still,
so it's like, add an extra 2 weeks
We're 3 weeks
there.
Away.
Yeah.
We are like 22 days away from this thing
that's been going on since
for like 3 years.
Yeah, since like 2022.
Something that you've been following for a lot longer than I have,
for
I think.
Like the 3 years, I'm pretty sure.
And I've been following it for it'll have been nearly a year. It's just over.
I just know it'll be over. Song.
This guy knows nothing. We're getting emotional. This guy's like, it's I know like, the silly jester and chess piece.
Yeah. But
the,
just like
the purple rabbit is voiced by a guy I like.
I like Michael Kovac. He's funny.
Well, I'd say this is a good time to round out this segment and move on to the next.
This is the moment you've all been waiting for. Media Mayhem!
All right. We are back.
We're back.
We are. And, of course, like we should be, we are continuing with our recap of the Amazing Digital Circus. Because we are now 1 week from episode 9.
Theater release.
Yes, from the theatrical release of episode 9. We're 1 week away from us watching it, Twin.
Hopefully.
They're going to kill us. What? Am I wrong?
Hyperbolically.
yes, obviously hyperbolically. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of mine and my guests alone. They in no way represent Albany Taconic TV, Taconic High School, or Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Or WTBR.
Or WTBR, yes. So, they in no way. They in no way have it on the old Taconic.
The old
Taconic. Spamming his vocal stems.
All right, we need to focus.
My goat, Bill Sturgeon. All right, so we're going to continue based off of where we left off last time. So that was at the end of episode 3. So now we are on to episode 4, Fast Food Masquerade. So the episode opens with Jax, Ragatha, and Gangle playing softball, where Jax accidentally breaks Gangle's comedy mask, or at least, I at least believe that it was accidental.
That one did seem genuine.
Because you can see
time.
His face drop, you can see his eyes change, like, as if he actually, you know, screwed up and didn't mean to do that.
Yeah.
But either way, Jax and Ragatha start scuffling about it, and while that happens, Zubul pulls Gangle aside to Zubul's room, where they give Gangle a plastic version of her comedy mask, which wouldn't break as easily, and when Gangle tries it on, she says that it feels normal in a good way. So, yippee! We get nice Gangle for once in this entire show, because she's just always sad all the time. While this is happening, Kane summons everyone to test some of his new adventure ideas on them, to which everyone collectively agrees that his ideas suck. Actually, no. They all agree that maybe the ideas in the suggestion box that they had would be a better idea. Kane admits he forgot it existed. So Kane admits that he literally quite literally just goes, "Gonna be real, I forgot we had that." So, forgets it existed, and pulls a slip from it. That slip is for manual labor. Because
Minimum wage.
A day working at a fast food restaurant, which Gangle shows some excitement to, which then Kane responds to by making Gangle the shift manager for the day. So, from there, we all enter the McDonald's dupe called Spudsies. So, they begin at the breakfast rush. Well, there is like a little montage of Gangle turning on all the machines and making sure everything is in order, but that's kind of neither here nor there, so we're going to start at the breakfast rush. Which, not much important happens at this point, which is about a third of the actual adventure. But one thing that is kind of important for the rest of the episode is that Ragatha accidentally spills what's called stupid sauce from the quite aptly named stupid burger. Yeah, so she spills that in her eye by accident and starts tripping. Yeah. She starts tweaking out. And then she sees Demon Gangle.
Yeah.
With like a really freaky looking face. Looks borderline demonic. But that's kind of it for the breakfast rush. Not much of importance happens. But up next, we have the lunch rush, where during this point, we meet some of the, we see some of the characters from the previous adventure. So we see the Gloin Queen from episode one, but more importantly, Pomni sees Gummy Goo again for the first time since the end of Candy Canyon, where he just got snapped out of existence. The problem with this, though, is the fact that Gummy Goo does not remember who Pomni is, because NPCs have their memories wiped after their adventures, so they won't remember anything that happens to them. And then Jackson and Ragatha just start picking on Gangle, which starts to show some cracks in the whole professionalism of the shift manager bit. But that's really it for this part of the episode. It's kind of just like the kind of existentialism, or the existentialism of Pomni learning that like the NPCs won't care by the next adventure no matter what. But after that, we move to the dinner rush, where Gangle is just basically losing her mind. And I'm pretty sure Nearly Abstract, at least like, because I was talking to you about this when we were watching, when we were going back through the show to get our notes together, you could hear some sounds that are kind of similar to the ones of the abstractions. So it makes me think that she was at least close to abstracting because of this and just started, was like losing her mind. Pomni snaps her out of it, offering to close for her so Gangle can leave a little early, which Gangle accepts and then leaves. And she stops short of the parking lot and takes off the plastic mask, the plastic happy mask, leaving her tragedy mask underneath. And she's got a hell of a strong arm because she lobs this thing at least 150 feet. She suddenly is like an Olympic-level stone thrower because she absolutely lobs this thing. And then she takes off across the parking lot and ends up at like the little patches of grass between the curb and the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And she stands underneath the light of a street lamp. And as she's looking up, she smiles, which is what I think is the first time she does that through her tragedy mask. I believe it's the first time that she ever smiles like fully in her tragedy mask. And then she starts slowly dancing around in the light. And then she trips and gets hit by a truck. Yeah. So she's like dancing and then she just falls backwards and gets hit by a truck. So then the episode ends with Kane giving Gangle her performance review where she gets a minus. Sorry, in my notes I have this as a B minus.
No, I think they're all B minuses.
I'm pretty sure they were A minus.
No, they're all B minus. Kanger got an A plus.
Open episode four. Okay, either way. It might have also been a B minus, but either way. So I'll just go with the notes. So she ends up getting a B minus. And this is the first time that we see Kane's code starting to deteriorate because he tries to say that he's such a good boss and then he starts tweaking out for like 5 full seconds. We also get a reference to Slop Kane, so that's really funny. that's a really funny little thing for people in the know. People who don't know, Slop Kane is a really, really, really bad version of Kane from a YouTube series?
It's like a YouTube content farm, basically.
Yeah, but it's like sketches of the Digital Circus with a really crappy Kane.
Yeah.
And that Kane is just, he's been known as Slop Kane. And they reference like the look of Slop Kane while the real Kane is glitching out. But after everybody gets back, Gangle separates herself from the rest of the circus, basically saying that she doesn't think anybody wants to be around her anymore. But Zubul finds her and basically consoles her in the fact that saying that, quote, the new mask was a bust, so what? Basically just the idea that something didn't work. We can try something else at another point or we'll find something that will work. But by this point, Zubul has convinced Gangle to come back to the rest of the crew, and then we fade out from there, and that's the end of the episode.
In my personal opinion, that's, I think, one of, if not my least favorite episode. It's not because it's bad in any way. It's just a lot slower than
I'm not a big fan of episode two, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of it. I feel like episode two is the weakest for me. Other than the part where they're under the map with Pomni and Gummy Goo, I think that's like the only really good part of the
It's of not the that the episodes are bad. It's just that they're slower than some of the others.
Yeah. But either way, we now move on to episode five, which is just called Untitled, because there's not really a general theme of this episode, because episode opens with the circus members bickering over the last adventure while Kane tries more of his terrible adventure ideas. And Zubul suggests that maybe just adventures are open to anyone to do at any time, which Kane declines. Are you hearing this, Bubble? The Toy Box characters wants us to let the other intelligent AIs run for a prolonged period of time.
Disgusting!
Something to that effect.
That's all I remember.
But yeah, after a lot more bickering, Kane decides to eventually just do a lightning round of every adventure left in the suggestion box, or at least most of them, and just sends them through immediately. The first adventure is suggested by Jax, which just has him Crocodile Dundee style hunting down all the other members of the circus. Because he just shoots Gangle, who is in the form of, like, a rhinoceros, and then just tries to eat her ribbons. I don't know, it's like cloth, I don't know. And he also calls it meat for some reason. Sir, she's made of ribbons. But after that, the adventure is very quickly skipped, and then Jax is made a vegan for the rest of the episode. But then we move on to the second adventure, which is also suggested by Jax. But this one actually has a name. This one is President Pomni. So this has, obviously, Pomni in the place of the United States president in the middle of a grueling war with Australia and New Zealand, where Kinger is basically Pomni's assistant, and this is where we learn that everybody else got character cards except for Pomni, so she just has to improv. Jax then bursts through the door with a bomb.
There's no way of putting it lightly.
He has a bomb.
It's a bomb.
So Jax has a bomb. That bomb is filled with the world's deadliest spiders and centipedes. Don't come for me. He does an Australian accent. I don't know how to do an Australian accent. I don't know how to do an Australian accent. I'm not Australian. Either way, now the job of Pomni is to defuse the bomb for some reason, which she doesn't have a bomb squad for some reason. But then Gangle bursts in as a New Zealander extremist. This one's just a bomb. There's no spiders.
It's just a bomb.
She has a stick of dynamite. She
multiple
just has,
sticks.
Yeah, she's just got a bomb strapped to her chest. And the transition to the next adventure
is kaboom.
Yeah, is that bomb kabooming. Everyone's fine because they can't feel pain. They can feel pain.
They
just can't die.
Yeah,
they can't be like mortally injured. Someone said they all just eat an explosion. For kind of no reason.
Yeah.
But the next adventure, which is suggested by Gangle, is a slice-of-life anime-styled adventure of the characters in a Japanese schoolhouse learning English. Not much really happens in this episode. In this part of the episode. The adventure's just kind of skipped, and we just move on.
Yeah.
So the next adventure, which is called Stargazing, which is most likely suggested by Kinger,
yeah,
has everyone just in like a field watching the stars where they all have a picnic. So this part, at least this specific adventure, starts to kind of show Jax's meaner personality start to slip as he kind of starts to genuinely question whether Gangle is even capable of being happy even with the comedy mask, and also starts to question Ragatha's, like, unruly friendliness. She tries to be, I think the way he words it is she tries to be, like, too nice all the time.
Yeah.
And he says that it kind of loses all meaning when somebody tells you that you're loved and appreciated all the time. But because of this, Ragatha ends up talking with Pomni about the fact that Jax doesn't have any friends, quote, anymore.
The one bad thing she did in the show.
Yeah, and then Jax looks at her like she's the one who did it. Because he just death glares her for a full, like, 30 seconds. Because he just...
You can't see this, but he's death glaring me.
Exactly. But after this, Ragatha runs away. She just runs away. And after this, Jax kind of comes back, but he also realizes his tail is missing for some reason. But after Jax realizes he doesn't have a tail for some reason, Kane starts to slowly realize that his adventures are just kind of being just edged out in general by the suggestion box adventures, that they're liking their own suggested adventures more than his, like, specially curated adventures. But then we cut to the intermission.
intermission time.
Yeah, that's just kind of another whole bunch of nothing. So we're just going to skip that. Except for the one little reference to Jax's supposedly abstracted friend. But that doesn't really get go anywhere.
Yeah, not in this episode.
Yeah. But then we cut to a bar adventure suggested by Zubul, because Zubul used to be a bartender. Yeah, so Zubul used to be a bartender and a tattoo artist when she was not in the circus. So this kind of just gives some more character to Zubul. And this also gives us a lot of lore for most of the characters, which is mostly what they remember from their past lives, which is usually the big point. It's usually just anything that took place like before they entered the CNA buildings and then accidentally entered the circus. So then we cut to the final adventure in this lightning round, which has the Big Tops, the main circus cast, facing evil versions of themselves. The evil Big Tops. Except for Gangle, is replaced by evil Orbs Man for some reason. Artist being replaced by AI, what do you know? But after a long match filled with various weird occurrences, the Big Tops win 0. They win 3-0. But after the gang gets back to the circus, a mysterious blank mannequin is suddenly the focal point of the end of the episode, which is watching them from a distance. He then rounds the corner, and the episode ends there. Now we move on to episode 6, which is just called They All Get Guns.
You'll never guess what the plot is.
They All Get Guns. Basically,
guess what the plot is.
Yeah. Basically, the episode just begins with Jax and Pomni finding Zubul hiding from Kane in a weird suspended pot, because Zubul is hiding from Kane because they heard him talking to Bubble about an in-house adventure, which Zubul wants no part of, which eventually we lead to the stage because Kane, or Jax, is a big meanie and leads Kane straight to Zubul. But then Kane is saying that all of the audience loved seeing the cast play softball. So he invents a series of random sports that he probably came up with about 5 seconds before he mentioned this. These fictitious sports include the 400-meter vertical skedaddle, bisection boogie egg ball, lateral hijinks, orange sport, ball run, walk ball, run walk, and ball ball.
Yeah.
None of these make sense. But Kane starts to sense some tension between the cast, so he switches it from sports to trust exercises. So then he gets a loaded gun. Unfortunately, I'm not joking.
His line is literally, and this is a loaded gun.
Is a loaded gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. But basically, Kane explains that someone will go into a private room where no one can see or hear inside once they are, and they'll just empty the gun. They'll just empty the gun of all its bullets. And then they will come out and hand the gun to another player. The second player then has two choices. Shoot themselves, trusting that player one emptied the gun, or turn the gun back on them, leaving player one to trust that player two believes them. Jax then ruins the adventure by just shooting Ragatha immediately. Reminder, they can't die. They just feel getting shot. Which I feel like might be worse now that I've said that out loud. So then Kane just gets angry at the fact that no one is following the rules, and just changes the adventure to being a 3-way 2v2 glorified paintball match. Except for paintballs, they just have lead. They just have guns.
Lead
bullets.
Balls.
Lead ball. And ball lead. And lead. And ball ball.
And lead sport.
Oh boy. So, with this adventure, the cast will team up into 3 pairs of 2. And they get 3 lives each. And after 5 minutes, it turns to a free-for-all where a pile of guns have been teleported to random spots in the circus for the cast to find. By the end of the game, Jax and Pomni are the winners, where Pomni hugs Jax only to be immediately pushed away, basically. This then leads to Jax and Pomni just fighting. They just get into a fist fight.
Yeah.
Which is where we learn that Pomni has definitely been in a few bar fights because she knows how to throw hands and throw teeth. She just bites Jax's leg.
Cartoon chomps.
Yes. So after their whole scuffle, Jax just starts throwing a hissy fit about saying that he doesn't care about anyone or anything in the circus and uses the circus to make his life better at the expense of others, where he walks off saying that there is nothing more to him and to just stop looking. We then cut to the favorite character awards show out of nowhere.
Very abruptly.
Yeah. where the final votes are locked in for the favorite character in the show, which was referenced at the beginning of the show, or at the beginning of the episode, rather, where Kane is saying that the adventure is going to have to be short because he's got a planet. And then the favorite character, Ming.
Ming?
Ming. But, yeah. So, Ming is the favorite character of the Digital Circus. So, after the credits, Kane checks the votes to see how many people voted for him. No one.
Nada.
The answer is no. He got zero votes.
Yo, who voted for you?
As he thinks about this, his eyes flash red and blue, which is a direct callback to the source material of The Amazing Digital Circus, which is I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream. All right. Well, that is going to do it for this week's episode of Up on Taconic. I'd like to thank both Dalton and Avery for helping me out with making today's episode. For more from us here at Taconic TV, check out the Thunder Report on the Taconic TV YouTube channel every Friday. We hope you all have a wonderful evening, and we'll see you next time on Up on Taconic.